everybody. Welcome to Sports Ball with Drew Absher. I am your host, as always, Drew Absher. A little bit of house cleaning real quick. If you're enjoying the show, it is a podcast now. Wherever you're getting podcasts, you can go find us at Sports Ball with Drew Absher. That's hence why I'm using the good mic today, because I'm like, oh, now it's a podcast. I had to listen back to all the shows before to put them on the podcast channel, and I'm sorry, my mic is unlistenable without this. So my apologies. That's the bit of house cleaning right now. But hey, we're making improvements. We're moving forward. And I was just thinking about it the other day. I can't wait for COVID to be over so that I can run this show live. I think it'll be a very fun live show. But thanks for joining us, as you guys do whenever we do this show. I'm your host, Drew Absher. I got a bunch of funny people today. You know most of them. You love all of them. Let's go around the horn here. Welcome back, Buddy Dean, everybody.
Thank you for having me. Yeah. Thank you for having me. I'm excited to be back.
Thanks. Yeah, a little clap. Yeah.
Tuesday crew.
Make it real loud just one of the funniest people on social media, I think. He's always posting stuff that's making me laugh. He's amazing at video editing, and he's great on Sports Ball. Make it real loud for Jack Brown, everybody.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, the crowd's going wild.
I'm glad that Drew finally has a reason to want COVID to be over. He wants to do this show live.
Yeah.
For the past year, he's been on the fence.
Yeah, I haven't been sure. I was actually enjoying the time off. You guys weren't? All right. He's the Ric Flair of sports ball at this point. He's like a 15-time defending champion. And he's the limousine riding. I don't remember the rest of it. Make it real loud for Josh Means, everybody. Yeah. Woo! Yeah. All right. And it's his first time on Sports Damn. Ball. Whoop, sorry. Josh?
I was muted. I was doing the whole fucking Ric Flair thing. Limousine riding, jet flying.
Yeah, if anyone else has their mic muted, now's a good time to check after we've already started the show.
Well, I realized I was talking during your intro, and I was like, oh shit, I'm not muted.
I didn't even hear it.
I'm getting comfortable.
Good. Well, we're happy to have you back, Josh. He's making his Sports Ball debut here. He's my friend. I'm excited to have him on. Make it real loud for Luke Soin, everybody.
Boo!
Oh, no. Homer. Go, Luke. Anyone who listens to Fill My Heart and this podcast, which I think that Venn diagram's about nothing, they're going to hear a lot of familiar noises. How's everybody doing?
I'm great.
Good. Okay. Everyone sounds so into it. It's good. Good.
Yeah, well, I thought you were just going to focus on Luke.
No, I meant everybody.
You just skip right over me. I feel
you great. Introed everybody and gave us all a chance, and then Luke, you're like, "Boo!" I also have another podcast. How's everybody doing?
It's a bit. Everyone knows Luke. He's a staple around town.
Yeah, I'm just in all the papers, man. They staple me everywhere.
Here's the thing. Here's the only reason I'd ever quit doing the show is my critical ass guests. Every single week with you guys, I get fucking ridiculed.
Trust me, I know what you're saying.
You motherfuckers. I put all this shit together and I just get lambasted with hate from my own peers. It's bullshit. Luke, how are you, buddy?
I'm doing pretty good. I'm just hanging out. My dog is sleeping next to me. He hates me because I always stay up late. I'm great.
Yeah, how Nacho, your little doggy dog.
Yeah.
I've never met a more skittish dog than Luke's. His name's Nacho, and he really does not like anybody.
He looks like a deer, and he acts like one.
Yeah, dude, it's remarkable. All right, you guys ready to play a little bit of sports ball?
Woo!
Woo-hoo! Yeah. We're going to play the first game, as always. It's called Let's Argue. The kind of premise of this game is it's like the ESPN show Around the Horn a little bit. I don't know how long I'm going to be able to say that for. I think at some point I got to stop giving credit to other shows for giving me all the ideas. But the premise of the show is I'm going to award some points to the guys based on good arguments they make. I sent them prompts this morning on some sports-based questions that I'd like to know their opinions on. And we're going to start with Buddy on the first one. Here we go. The Super Bowl was this month, and oh boy, was it a snooze fest. Really, just an absolutely boring game. I feel like I watched like 9 minutes of it and saw everything that happened. The game didn't feel very competitive at all, begging the question, as a fan, when is the appropriate time to leave a shitty game? Assuming it's not as big a game as the Super Bowl or something like a no-hitter or perfect game where, you know, there's something on the line. When is it okay for to head for the exits and beat the traffic? Buddy, you get full rein on, you know, you can say the third quarter, you could say the seventh inning, you can do whatever you want here. It's all yours. But, Buddy, we'll start with you. When is it okay to head for the exits?
Thank you. Yeah, I actually have two little fun stories that perfectly encapsulate how I feel about this. So when I was growing up, my grandfather would always take us to Raiders games, just one Raider game a year. Mm-hmm. We were me and my little brother. We were not Raiders fans. He was not a Raiders fan. It was kind of like the same reason you go to the zoo and stuff. It was just to see how crazy it was. He would always buy us like a different Raiders hat every year so that, you know, we wouldn't get stabbed. And we weren't allowed to ever wear jerseys from our favorite teams. But there was two games in particular. The first one being a just a classic Titans and Raiders game with Billy Volek versus Rick Myers. Early 2000s, both teams were just great at the time, I'm guessing. And
that's got Thursday Night Football written all over it. Titans Raiders.
My grandpa was like, yeah, maybe we could leave this one a little early. So as we're leaving to beat traffic, we see this couple outside, and they're screaming at the guards, and they're flipping them off and throwing stuff at them and things. And my grandpa, being a curious cat, he asked the lady and gentleman, why were you guys kicked out? What's going on? And the man, without breaking a sweat, he was just like, they kicked us out. Show them, babe. And his wife just pulled out her titties. And it's one of the best sports experiences I've ever had. I don't remember much of the game, but that was really great. The other one being a Browns and Raiders game in the height of the Brady Quinn and Jamarcus Russell era.
Oh, nice.
And it was raining, and we could only get seats in the Mount Davis area, which, if you don't know, is the very tippy top and the shittiest part of the stadium. It was my grandpa, me, my brother, and two Browns fans and a bunch of drunk Raiders fans, and the Browns beat them real bad at 13-10. And we decided to stay the whole game that time. And these Browns fans got real cocky and started to talk shit. All of a sudden, we see these drunk Raiders fans swarm the Browns fans, beat the shit out of them, and take their jerseys. And as they're being carried out, I was like, man, that is the greatest experience I ever had at a sports game. I, again, don't remember the score or anything like that. So I would say, when's the best time to leave? I don't know. It just really depends.
Well, I was going to say, you said that the watching the people get beat up was your best sports memory. That must have been before you saw titties in the parking lot, because that's obviously got to be number one.
Yeah.
These men were beaten.
And that's still more exciting than random titties in public. I'm going to disagree with you on that one, buddy. I like the anecdote.
Yeah. The right time to leave Buddy's speech was at halftime.
Jack, coming to you. When do you think it's a good time to leave the game and head for home?
I know you mentioned it earlier, but what's our barometer? Is it innings? Is it quarters? Doesn't matter.
It's up to you, Playboy. You pick.
Okay, it's actually fucking never. You never leave the game. You know how much tickets are? Mark Wahlberg left 28-3. It was 28-3. Never saw his beloved Patriots make the greatest Super Bowl comeback of all time. Looking like a chump the next morning at 4 a.m. on his second workout. Piece of shit. So in sixth grade, I was at a Monarchs game. Yeah. And it was a huge blowout. But we stayed. It was just my mom and I saw my sixth grade English teacher on the kiss cam, and she kissed her partner, who was a woman. And I went to my mom. I said, "That's the first lesbian I've ever seen." And my mom said, "No, your aunt is a lesbian." My aunt, and I've known her partner my whole life. I figured out then that my aunt was lesbian. So you need to stay at the game. You might learn something.
Yeah.
And don't end up like Mark Wahlberg.
Yeah. Great job, Jack. Yeah, you might learn your aunt's gay. You might learn about what Oakland titties look like. You could learn a whole slew of stuff at sporting events, and you need to be there for the whole time. Josh, I'm surprised here. I'll be honest with you. We're making it to third down, and Jack hit on one of the all-time fuck-ups of leaving a sporting event early. I'm surprised this one's still on the table for Josh as an anecdote. We'll see if we get to it here. But Josh, what do you think is a good time to leave a game?
Honestly, I'm sticking with what Jack said. It's never. Picture this, all right? It's a Kings Grizzlies game. I'm there with my best friend. Kings are up 8. His girlfriend is also there somewhere else. We can see her from where we are. He sees her leaving, and he's like, we should leave. I want to go get kisses or whatever the fuck. I'm like, it's still like an 8-point game. There's 2 minutes left. I'm going to stay here. You go ahead. He leaves. 2 minutes later, Tyreek Evans hits a half-court game-winning shot.
Nice.
They missed it.
That's great.
I got to see it. I was jumping up and down with, yeah, Reek Daddy. I was jumping up and down with this old dude next to me, and that was like my best sporting experience ever. So that's why you never leave a game, even if it's an 8-point game against the fucking Memphis Grizzlies.
Yeah, you never know. We play to win the game, right? Luke, coming to you. What's a good time to leave a game?
I hate to be on the same train, but it's like you got to stay till the end. I'm a huge Marvel fan. You always stay to the end of the credits. You never know what's going to happen. You know, Captain America might be there to tell you that it was a waste of time, but patience is a virtue. You never know. And, you know, I remember going to like a couple of those and-one games back in my high school days. You guys remember that? And, you know, we're all wearing our Tai Chis. We show up. And, you know, the fourth quarter, sometimes that's when the professor crosses over helicopter and breaks his ankles. You just never know. So you have to stick around the whole time. Yeah. Very important.
Totally.
And also, you know, it's kind of fun to be stuck in the car trying to get out of a shitty parking lot with everyone else and honking. And there's always that guy that comes out of nowhere with a giant truck and he just cuts and no one really does anything about it.
Yep.
You know, and you just let him do it. And, you know, hopefully you still have like a 4-pack of Krispy Kremes from Arco Arena that you're eating. But if not, then, you know, just poop your pants in your car. Stay to the end of the game.
There you go. I agree, Luke. I did have to dock you a point for bringing up some nerd shit. We don't do that on the sports podcast. This is for jocks and men. This podcast is. Luke, I did want to say I'm surprised we got through all 4 people without anyone mentioning Ray Allen's buzzer beater to keep the Miami Heat alive and all those Heat fans who had left the arena and could not get back in. I thought for sure I thought the Patriots coming back against the Falcons, and I thought someone would for sure bring up when all those fucking bullshit-ass Heat fans tried to come back and watch Chris Bosh kick it out.
I left my friend's house. I walked out. They were all cheering for the Spurs, which is weird because they're Lakers fans. But
weird.
I walked out, and then I was like, I have nowhere else to go. I'm going to walk back in. And then I walked back in just in time to see the missed three and then the rebound kick out.
What a fucking moment. The only time I've ever, like, left a game early without it being, like, a complete blowout, like a 40-point lead in the fourth or something, me and my friend were sitting courtside, and our other friend, his wife was like 8.5 months pregnant. And like in the second quarter, we got a text where he's like, we're on our way to the hospital. Baby's coming now. And we're like, you know, we're like 19 years old. This is our first friend to ever have a baby. We're all pumped up. And we like speed from Arco Arena to South Sac Kaiser, which is, you know, 35 minutes at the minimum. And it's pouring rain. And we get there and his wife was in labor for 28 hours. So no point in leaving the game early. And we found out how long labor takes. That's a fun
talk the game the next day.
Yeah. It was very stupid of us. Moving on. Next question. Tom Brady just secured his 7th Super Bowl ring, making him have more rings than any other NFL team by himself. This record seems pretty unlikely to be challenged, in my opinion, as only 12 quarterbacks all time have two or more Super Bowl rings. My question for you, what is the most unbreakable record in sports? We'll start with Jack on that one.
So a couple things real quick. Didn't find a good time to jump in on these, but the characters that Luke mentioned in the And One universe sound more like movie characters than the Marvel guys did. So
yeah.
And One mixtape is some nerd shit. And Drew, if I met you at 19 years old, I don't think we'd be friends.
No.
Your friend had a wife who was pregnant and you had courtside seats. You're the coolest 19-year-old ever. Those are like still my ideas of being an adult. Those were all the signifiers you had at 19 years old.
Fair enough.
Yeah, were you guys trading stocks while you were sitting on the courtside? Like, yeah.
It was back when my Gordon Gekko days where I had my hair slicked back at all times.
Yeah. And a giant thumb.
Jack, what do you think is the most unbreakable record in sports?
Yeah, I'll answer the question. Okay, so Cal Ripken Jr. played 2,632 consecutive games. I think millennials these days will get too bored. Boston Celtics won 8 consecutive championships. That's never going to happen with the parity in the league's now in free agency. But the number one most unbreakable record in sports, it's been memorialized in television and movies already. Wade Boggs drinking 64 beers on a cross-country flight and then playing the next day. It was 107 beers unofficially. 64 is the official version. No one's going to drink that many beers. Hard seltzers and IPAs are too prevalent these days. Weed gummies and such. Yeah. Nobody drinks beer like that anymore.
Good point, Jack. Yeah, I'm glad that they weren't keeping official how many beers did you drink on the team plane stats at that time. Yeah, that's like how when they're like, Bill Russell got 38 rebounds in a game, but it was not recorded because rebounds weren't an official stat yet. That was you with the official story is 64, but people who were there said it was 107. I love it.
Wait, that's so there awesome. Wasn't a guy with one of those giant pads of paper just in the seat next to him just marking it down?
Yeah, I know. The Red Sox could have used Dimitri Martin at that time to just have that giant pad of paper and just be taking count. You remember how Dimitri Martin used to have that on his stand-up routine? Anyway,
That is the first time that sentence has ever been said. The Red Sox could have really used Dimitri Martin.
Moving on here. Josh, what do you think is the most unbreakable record in sports?
First off, I want to say how you made fun of Luke for bringing up nerd shit, and then you make a Dimitri Martin reference. Yeah.
Fair enough.
Mutes himself. He's like, you're right.
Show's over.
I feel like we could all choose a Wilt Chamberlain record and say that it would never be broken, like the 100 points in one game, 55 points a game season. 20,000 women. I'm going his most unbreakable stat, 48.5 minutes a game. It's never going to happen again. There's no way a player in this day and age averages more than 40 minutes, even playing for Tibbs.
Yeah. I was going to say, 40 minutes is incredible. I mean, I didn't know that was a stat. That's the first time I've ever heard that stat. That is pretty fucking remarkable. 48 and a half minutes is an insane amount.
And yeah, he played every game and some overtimes.
Yeah. Actually, I'll just drop this Wilt Chamberlain thing in here real quick. There's a story going that's been around for a couple of years now about Wilt Chamberlain's free throw percentage. And he was he shot like 30% career from the free throw line. But one year he wanted to get better at the free throws, and he reached out to Rick Barry at the time and asked Rick Barry to help him with his free throws. Rick Barry taught him how to shoot underhand free throws like he did and boosted Wilt Chamberlain's free throw percentage up to 60%, which in that game where he scored 100 points, he had 36 free throws. God damn. And then Wilt Chamberlain was bullied by the rest of the league, everyone calling him a pansy. And so he went back to shooting overhand and went back to shooting like 30% for his career. So if you ever look at Wilt Chamberlain's stats, the year he scored 100, there's just this weird anomaly where he shot like 65% from the free throw line and then drops completely off the
ledge. Bill Simmons has this like Bill Russell versus Wilt Chamberlain debate in his book. And his entire thing is that Bill Russell just played mind games. And that's why he always beat Wilt Chamberlain. And that's what it sounds like is
God. What a fucking what a Bill Simmons argument to have. Just no, Bill Russell's actually better. No one cares, Bill. Can we move on? We've moved on. Sorry,
Bill Russell's Teen Wolf, and Will Chamberlain is actually another reference. I can't even think of a second one right now. Fuck, Rounders. That's what he does.
Yeah, it's from Rounders, Friday Night Lights.
So it's pretty clear.
Yeah, Bill Simmons fucking sucks. Luke, coming to you here. What is the most unbreakable record in sports, in your opinion, Luke?
Well, I was going to say the single season home run record because they don't do steroids anymore in baseball. And if you look at the list, the top, what is it, fucking top six people, there's only four names in there or three names in there, but they all did steroids allegedly. And then after that, you have like Roger Maris in 1961. Yeah. So,
yeah.
And then Babe Ruth in the 20s. So it's, and then the closest guy recently is Giancarlo Stanton with 59 in 2017. So, but to catch 73, that's like another 14 home runs. I don't know.
Yeah. No, you're right. That is a record that should stand for a long time. The only thing that I think is might be helping them is that literally like, baseball players have just gotten stronger, you know, like every other sport where it's like the old football players were just like fat dudes who were offensive linemen. And now they're like guys who can bench press 700 pounds. So like as baseball evolves training wise, I could see someone getting up into the 60s, but I don't think anyone's going to get back to Bonds' number. Yeah. All right, buddy.
Or if the Rockies have, is it easier to hit when it's higher up?
Yeah, Coors Field is a boom box, but you know.
So maybe if they get like
the Rockies would have to get and keep a guy that's good enough for long enough to to break that number. All right, buddy, we're gonna kick it over to you here. What's the most unbreakable record in sports?
This one is the easiest one. It is obviously 21-0. It is, Josh knows what I'm talking about. It is The Undertaker at WrestleMania. that is 21 years without taking a loss at essentially the Super Bowl. Suck it, Tom Brady.
Oh, wow. Yeah,
but
thanks for the Tom Brady hit.
Beyond that, like we were talking, millennials don't have patience nowadays. Nobody has patience in wrestling to let somebody win 21 years in a row or 21 years period.
Yeah.
Undertaker, they didn't even know that they had a streak until it was at 11, and they didn't start doing anything with it until 21 because they were that dumb. So they just kind of lucked into it. So I don't think it'll ever be touched.
Yeah, totally. I think that's fair. I wonder how many people who would like pick up this podcast are also wrestling fans, but people think that like that's bullshit, that oh, it's all fake anyway. But it takes an extreme amount of like wrestling skill, whatever you think that skill is. It takes a huge amount to stay on top for 21 years. That's fucking crazy. That's like, you know, obviously what LeBron's doing at 36 is insane, but you know, it's the longevity that's impressive, I guess is what I'm saying. Cool. I didn't think anyone particularly was going to come up with this one, but I do think it is the most unbreakable record in sports just for the sheer amount of luck and skill it would take is the record for consecutive no-hitters thrown. A guy named Johnny Vandermeer threw two consecutive no-hitters, which the next closest person like threw a no-hitter and then the next game had like six no-hit innings. So in order for somebody to break that record, they need to throw three consecutive no-hitters, and that's just fucking insane to think about. I mean, it would just never be done. It's not even like a, oh, this generation. It's like Johnny Vandermeer was insanely lucky for throwing two in a row. So throwing three in a row is damn near impossible. That's one of my favorites to throw out in that debate. All right, moving into our last Let's Argue category. Everyone's, you know, essentially tied in this game. Who cares about the points? Buddy, Jack, Josh all have 10. Luke's at 9. Who cares? This last one, we'll start with Josh. The MLB Hall of Fame voting netted 0 total baseball players entering the Hall of Fame. We kind of alluded to this topic a little bit earlier, talking about Luke bringing up the home run record. Among those not inducted were Barry Bonds, Roger Clemens, Sammy Sosa, and a few more alleged steroid users. This one tends to divide baseball fan bases a lot, and you know, but it's prevalent in a lot of other sports too. Do you guys think athletes that used PEDs should be inducted into their respective sports Hall of Fame? We'll start with Josh on that.
No, I don't think they should be allowed in the Hall of Fame. I think they should have their own Hall of Fame. I think they should be encouraged to do whatever they want. And if they make it into the Hall of Fame, that's great. But if they get caught using it, they don't get the health insurance when they retire. Oh. So that's on them.
Okay.
We're only taking care of the people that take care of themselves.
Okay. Wow. We're throwing some mean stipulations at people here. We're going hell like draconian fucking, you got to fight for your, this sounds like a Arnold Schwarzenegger, Sylvester Stallone movie they're doing where it's like, you guys get caught, you don't get health insurance.
I think it just sounds like good old Roger Goodell.
yeah. I'm going to need that health insurance to fix my stroke.
Luke, coming to you. Do you think players who take steroids should be admitted into the Hall of Fame?
Yes, 100%, because I'm a huge Giants fan and the number one guy is a Giant. So
yeah,
that's, you know, he, it was, look, I mean, I watched those games when he was hitting, when he did that season, and it was like thrilling. It was so fun to watch him to, like, you know, it kind of got boring after a while almost to just see him, like, he would just hit it and, like, halfway through the swing, he would be like, yep, and just like drop the bat, like,
yeah,
I got it. And I think you just put him in there and you put an asterisk and then you scroll to the bottom of the page and you go, oh, he did steroids. And that's just how, you know, but it's part of the history. Are you going to erase the history?
Yeah, sure.
You know, I mean, I know we're taking down statues in the South, but we don't need to take statues down in the Hall of Fame.
Yeah. Barry Bonds did nothing close to lead a Confederacy trying to secede from the United States, though.
Yeah, exactly.
I think that's so one positive there, thing know? We can all agree about Barry Bonds is, you know, domestic violence allegations aside, all of that, who cares? The guy never tried to lead a coup against the United States. Good point, Luke.
Exactly.
Buddy, kicking it to you. What do you think? PEDs, yes or no?
Absolutely, they should go into the Hall of Fame. And I couldn't be further from Josh on this. I think that we love these sports athletes and we want them in the Hall of Fame for the sacrifice and what they did to their bodies for our entertainment. Who did more to their bodies than the people who are pumping horse steroids into their bodies and dying at a very young age for our entertainment?
Fair point.
There was no better time than steroids baseball, steroids era wrestling, steroids era football. Have you ever seen Brian Cushing on steroids?
Pretty fucking cool.
Have you ever seen Brian Cushing not on steroids?
Not as cool.
Exactly.
Yeah, your argument stands. I don't know if Brian Cushing is the guy I go to first about Hall of Famers who did steroids, but I like your, it's a good point you've made. Yeah, Brian Cushing's off steroids is not fun at all. All right, Jack, end us here.
I had a whole long thing written about Shoeless Joe Jackson, but I know we don't have time for it right now. But anyways, Shoeless Joe Jackson, the commissioner back then was named Kennesaw Mountain Landis. Mm-hmm. Kennesaw Mountain Landis. And I looked up a lot of stuff about him too. I'm not going to read it, but if you have some time, treat yourself. Shit was crazy back then. But yes, they should be in the Hall of Fame. Otherwise, I'm going to take my kids to the Hall of Fame. There's going to be a big gap there. They're going to ask me what happened. I don't want to talk to my kids. That's why we're at the Hall of Fame to begin with. Just put them all in there. It happened. Deal with it.
Yeah, totally. Thanks for your brevity, Jack. I'm going to go on my own little rant here. People should know that baseball is my first love. That's my favorite sport to watch. The argument with baseball is pretty interesting. I have two kind of ideas where I think yes. First, there was a thing called greenies. I don't know how many people know about greenies, but greenies were essentially meth that players were allowed to take from like the 1960s until the early 2000s, and it was like meth that they put in coffee. And in the locker room, they would literally have pots of coffee labeled non-greenies, greenies. And it was essentially you would take Adderall in your coffee. And so all these guys who are in the Hall of Fame already were taking, it's a banned substance now. You can't take greenies now. But all these guys were essentially taking them, and they're already in the Hall of Fame. So how can you say, like, PEDs aren't allowed in the Hall of Fame when guys who drank greenies are in the Hall of Fame. And the second is the MLB profited fucking hugely off the steroid era, off the home run races, and they actually inducted Bud Selig, who was completely aware of the steroids. They inducted Bud Selig into the Hall of Fame. So it's a little bit fucked up to be like the guy who's only a good commissioner because of how well the league did during the steroid era, and he was aware of it, is a Hall of Famer, but the people who hit those home runs is not a Hall of Famer. I'm on my Draymond Green soapbox now. We're going to move on. Yeah, at the end of that one, Buddy and Jack have 15, Josh and Luke have 14. Doesn't really matter. Let's argue is not even worth caring about points-wise, because it doesn't matter, because the next couple games here, the chance for points is scarce, which makes them more important. Okay, we're going to play our first game called The Come Up. This is a game we haven't played in a while. The premise for this game is I'm going to give you an athlete, and you're going to have two chances to tell me by which way they got to the professionals and which team drafted them to the professionals. So a good example for this would be like if you said, let's say Aaron Rodgers, the answer would be Cal and then the Green Bay Packers. Now, there's two possible points available here. You will get one for a correct answer. Even if you miss the college, but you get the team right, you can get a point for that. And the next person has a chance to guess the college correctly or the team if you can't remember the team. All right. Does that make sense, everybody? Okay. We are going to start with Josh. He is alphabetically first and has the least amount of points. Josh, Stephen Curry.
Davidson, Golden State Warriors.
Bang! 2 points for Josh and a mic ring bang. I'm having fun with the soundboard. Luke, coming to you. The aforementioned Tom Brady.
Oh, fuck. I don't know the college. I'm horrible with colleges, but Patriots.
Okay, 1 point for Luke. I'll give you half a bang. Buddy, chance to steal here. Where do you know where Tom Brady went to college?
Michigan.
Bang! For Buddy. Okay. And now I will use that a lot less frequently so it doesn't lose its value. I would like to see Mike Breen just say it every time someone hits a 3-pointer though. That'd be a fun game to watch. All right, Jack.
Wait, so Buddy loses the opportunity to get 2 points? I feel like Buddy should get to go.
Yeah, that's...
Oh, yeah, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to do that, buddy. Yeah, you get a chance. I'm sorry.
No, that's okay.
But, Jack, don't try to do that again, okay? I'm the king of this fucking ship. You're going to end up like Kim Jong-un's half-brother dead in a fucking airport, okay?
Cut it out. It's fine. It's
okay. All right, don't question my authority one more time. Buddy, coming to you here.
Insurrection.
Buddy, coming to you here. Damian Lillard.
Is he? I don't know the college, but the Trailblazers.
Okay. Buddy gets a half a point there. Yeah, he was drafted by the Portland Trailblazers. Jack, do you know the college that Damian Lillard attended?
Isn't it Weber State or is it Weber?
Yeah, either way you want to pronounce it, you're correct. Yeah, I think it is pronounced Weber technically, but who gives a shit? It's a dumb little tiny school that no one cares about. All right, Josh, coming to you. Sacramento Kings legend. Oh, I'm sorry, Jack.
Skip Jack.
Jesus Christ, dude, I'm going to do it again. Jack, coming to you. Sacramento Kings legend, Mike Bibby.
Arizona. Vancouver Grizzlies?
That's correct, yeah. And ooh, just for future reference, not that I don't think there's any on this one, but if there is a franchise that's changed names or locations, I'll give you credit for the right. Oh, and the other thing I should throw in here, if the person like was drafted straight out of high school or came from a, a foreign country or something. I don't need the, you know, the specifics. You can just say
Lower Marion High School.
Yeah, right. You can just say they were drafted out of high school or community college, or they were a foreign draft pick or something like that.
See, for some reason, I thought Dame was out of high school, but yeah.
No, he can't. He was after the high school rules. Stupid, stupid high school rules. All right, Jack picks up 2 points there. Josh, coming to you. Geez, I forgot that I put this guy on the list. Now I kind of feel bad because I forgot what, about what he was alleged to have done. Kareem Hunt.
Oh, shit. I don't know. Alabama and the Chiefs.
The Chiefs is correct. Alabama is unfortunately incorrect. Luke, do you know where Kansas City Chiefs draftee Kareem Hunt was taken from?
I have no idea. I'm going to just guess Clemson.
Okay, Clemson's not a bad guess. It is incorrect, though. Buddy, coming to you.
It's not Purdue, right?
It's not Purdue. And then Jack, coming to you.
Tennessee?
No, not Tennessee either. Toledo.
Oh.
Could have fooled me. I put this one
State of Ohio. Yeah.
I put this one out on Instagram. I crowdsourced some names, and Kareem Hunt was one that came in. So that's how that got in there. All right.
Who? Block them. That's weird.
You know what? A couple people threw me some weird ones, man. I was like, hey, I like it. You get random. When you get random, sometimes you get
ugly. I'd never even heard that name before. So.
Oh, yeah. He was alleged to have kicked a woman. Not even alleged. There's a video of it. But anyway.
Yeah, I was going to say.
Those damn elevators.
Yeah. Josh, you started that last one, right?
Yeah.
Okay, so we're coming to Luke here. Luke, former Oakland A's, Boston Red Sox, and Cleveland Indians outfielder, Coco Crisp.
I know that name, but I don't know. I'll just say Cal. I don't know.
No.
And the Brewers.
Okay. All right. Not bad guesses. Both incorrect. Buddy, coming up to you. Do you have an idea on where Coco Crisp was drafted from or where he was drafted to?
Was he drafted by the Red Sox? And I do not have an idea on college. I will just say Florida.
No, not Florida either. He was not drafted by the Red Sox, unfortunately. I would not have made it that obvious. be like, yeah, he was played for the Red Sox. Who was he drafted by, guys? Josh, coming to, or Jack, I'm sorry, coming to you. Coco Crisp.
I'm going to guess drafted by the Indians out of high school.
Oof. Jack, you are so dang close on both of them and incorrect on both of them, unfortunately. Josh, do you have a guess?
All right, drafted by the you said, I think the other one was the Royals.
Okay.
And community college.
Okay, Josh picks up 1 point on community college.
Oh.
And unfortunately, Coco Crisp was drafted by the St. Louis Cardinals. Jack, he never actually played a game for the St. Louis Cardinals. He was traded before he ever made his debut. But goddamn, you were close. God damn it. Okay, so Luke started that last one off, so we'll come to Buddy here. Buddy, this one's pretty easy. Allen Iverson.
76ers, but high school.
No, not from high school. Jack, coming to you.
Georgetown?
He was drafted from Georgetown. Yeah. Good job picking up the scraps there, Jack. And we'll stay with you.
Jack's right in front of me. He's getting my chances.
Hey, it's all by alphabetical order. You got to change your name if you want to have a better strategy, okay?
My name is after his.
You just start going by A-A-A-A-A Josh.
Yeah.
So it palps up first. Anyway.
A-A-A Josh. That's not a good nickname.
A-A-A-A Josh. Okay. Jack, sticking with you here. Dikembe Mutombo.
Oh, wow.
Ooh. Oh, I know this one.
Atlanta Hawks and I know he wasn't a straightforward signing. I don't remember where he went to college. I'm just going to throw it to Josh.
All right. Yeah, no points there. He was not drafted by, what'd you say, the Hawks?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Not the Hawks. Josh, coming to you.
It's Georgetown for the college. Mm-hmm. And I thought it was the Hawks, but I'm going to say the 76ers.
Not the 76ers either, Luke.
The Nuggets.
It was the Denver Nuggets. Luke coming in at the last moment. Picks up a point there.
I have trading cards of that.
Yeah, that was a big one. It was funny. The only reason the last three are kind of interesting at all is Coco Crisp is like a totally weird player to even have in memory. Like he had two good seasons in the major leagues. Multiple people sent me Coco Crisp's name. I don't know how.
His name is awesome. That's why.
Yeah, I don't
know. The girl I used to talk to started dating him.
What?
Ooh. The girl I used to talk to started dating him.
Really?
And Josh Harrelson from the Miami Heat.
Look at Josh. all right. And then the other two, Allen Iverson and Dikembe Mutombo, completely people independent of each other. It wasn't like a married couple or anything. Sent me their names back to back. I thought that was kind of interesting. Both Georgetown products. Anyway, moving on, a new fan favorite. I'm gonna say it. It's a new fan favorite. It's certainly a new host favorite. This is called the post game. Let me run through the score real quick. Buddy has 18. Jack has 18. Josh has 19. Luke has 16. It's all good. Plenty of chances in these next couple games here. This one's going to be fun. This is called the post game. This game is, I'm going to read you old athletes' social media posts, and you have to tell me which athlete was the one who posted it. If I'm being honest, there's no expectation that you know any of these answers. It's more just a chance for me to read some funny, funny things that athletes said when they were teenagers. All right. We will start with Luke. Luke. Oh, and by the way, it's 1 point for a correct answer and a chance to steal. We'll go around the horn and let people guess. Luke, which athlete on December 3rd, 2010 at 1:13 a.m. tweeted, "I'll steal your girl, hold her hand, and skip"?
Chad Johnson.
Chad Ochocinco Johnson. No, not Chad Johnson, unfortunately. Buddy, coming to you.
Oh, wow. I don't know. Is that a Juju tweet?
Not a bad guess. Funny. Juju's a good guess. In this game a lot. Yeah, it's a... I wanted to title it the Kevin Durant game because Kevin Durant's always a good guess if you don't know. But no, it's not Juju. Jack, coming to you.
Yeah, I was just going to guess Kevin Durant because that's the go-to one. But the way you said that makes me think it's not Kevin Durant. So I'm going to guess, say 2010?
Yeah, 2010.
I'm going to guess someone at the height of their powers, Sean Merriman.
Okay, Sean Merriman. Josh, coming to you.
I was going to guess Kevin Durant. I feel like it has to be an NBA player. They're goofy. I don't know. Paul George.
Okay, Paul George. Yeah, no nose across the board. I'll say this before we play the next round. If someone else guesses the correct answer and you also think it's that person, just guess that person. Everyone will get points. No, unfortunately, Buddy, I thought this might be in your wheelhouse. That is Buffalo Bills starting quarterback Josh Allen tweeted that when he was, I'm guessing, like 5 years old.
God.
Yeah. I like that this goes before their careers, possibly.
Oh, yeah, dude. These are all, like, a lot of them are stuff that they tweeted, and then, like, when they got drafted, everyone goes through their old tweets and finds them. All right, Jack, starting with you here, just an all-timer, just one of my favorites. This was tweeted at 3:44 p.m., October 22nd, 2017. All it says is, "I don't want to be here."
Eric Bledsoe.
Yeah, damn it. Eric, yeah. Dang it, I forgot. I'm just going to give everyone a point there because everyone would have guessed Eric Bledsoe after that, seeing how quickly Jack said yes.
You're right. I totally would have gotten that.
Well, I mean, if Jack said it and then Josh said it, you probably would have just picked up the hint that it was very clearly Eric Bledsoe. Yeah, just an all-time NBA Twitter moment. A guy just tweeting that, and then his defense was that he was with his girlfriend at a nail salon, and that he wasn't. And then he was traded from the Phoenix Suns like 2 days later. Hilarious, very funny. All right, the next one. We're going to start with Josh on this one. And I'll be honest, this one is just about the tweet because it is one of the worst things to have someone pull up. All right, this is from, this is at 10:56 p.m. on July 21st, 2012. Josh, coming to you with this one. Just got invited to Nationals to play for the Korean ping pong team. I think I have to face Dong Dong first round.
I heard about this recently.
I think that I may have read it on the last episode because I asked you guys if you wanted to hear a racist one. But there, if you would have committed this to memory, I wouldn't have been your friend anymore. It's very obscure.
I'm gonna say Kirk Cousins.
Okay, Kirk Cousins. Luke, do you want to hear the tweet one more time?
Sure, because it's okay. Fun.
Just got invited to Nationals to play for the Korean ping pong team. I think I have to face Dong Dong first round. It reads like a guy who was completely inspired by Anthony Jeselnik to try comedy.
Like, I'm going to go with Meta World Peace.
Okay, that's not a bad guess, actually. Buddy, coming to you. Any ideas on this incredibly insensitive tweet?
Can I ask the year again?
Yeah, sure. It'll be it is July 21st, 2012.
Ooh. I'm going to go Cousins.
Kirk Cousins, okay. And Jack, do you have a guess on this
one? I have the same memory of Josh of hearing it recently, and if it's on this show, I'm really going to be kicking myself. I'm going to guess Gardner Minshew. But I don't know.
Yeah, not a bad guess from Jack. Probably the closest one. It was it's a guy named Ben DiNucci who ended up starting a couple games for the Cowboys this past season with Dak Prescott and Andy Dalton both getting hurt. Yeah, that's a tough one to make your first NFL start and people find you having incredibly racist tweets. Yeah, I didn't expect anyone to get a point there, but I love doing that one. All right. We will come to Luke on this one. This is from March 23rd, 2011. Very ambiguous. This was on Facebook. This person said simply, the NFL is gay.
Are you sure that wasn't me?
Yeah, it could have been. It could have been any of us, to be honest.
I didn't do that. Let's see. Oh, man. I'm going to say... I want to say Jamarcus Russell for the laughs, but he probably wasn't with it enough because he was drinking that codeine. So okay. I'll just say, oh, man.
Fuck. No, you know what? Jamarcus Russell's a very fun guess for this
one. Yeah, I'll just guess that. I was going to think
it's
of
a very funny guess.
Funny to me, and I can't. So Jamarcus Russell.
Yeah, don't overextend. It's a good. That was a good guess. Buddy?
Everything in my heart wants it to be Kyler Murray.
Kyler Murray. Jack?
Could you read that again? I think I missed it.
Yeah, sure. It is capital T. The NFL is gay.
Okay. So it must be someone who's in the NFL now. I'm going to guess Quentin Nelson.
Quentin Nelson. Josh?
My first guess was Michael Sam. but it was Carson Wentz.
It was Carson Wentz. Yeah. Josh gets a point there. Yeah. Carson Wentz on Facebook just said, the NFL is gay. Pretty fun. All right. Coming to Buddy to start this one. This one is from May 9th, 2013. If you ask me, far too deep into social media to be this fucking stupid on it. It's 8:48 p.m. This player tweeted, say, quote, I, yam, stew, peed, end quote, four times fast. Y'all got to try this. LOL, somebody just got me.
That's Gronkowski.
Okay.
Please,
Gronkowski. a very fine guess in this one. Yeah, not a bad guess at all. Jack, coming to you.
Dwight Howard.
Okay, Dwight Howard. Josh.
Oh, geez. I don't know. Luke, don't pay attention to what I'm saying, but Dwight Howard.
Okay. Dwight Howard.
Dwight Howard.
All right. Jack, Josh, and Luke all picking up a point there. Luke, got a way to. Luke is really the Chris Bosh of your guys' Miami Heat squad here. all right.
Just trying to get one of them rings.
Yeah, just floating on the backside. All right. Okay, this one is from, God, dude, I should just make the entire show this game. It's so fun. This is from June 11th, 2013 at 10.06 p.m. This athlete said, I need me a fat girl. That means she know how to cook. But at the same time, I don't because I don't want her eating off my plate when she done. And we'll start this one with Jack.
Oh, geez. I need some time to sit with that. You know, we never have any baseball players. Dustin Pedroia, why not?
Hell yeah, dude. Yeah. Thanks. Congrats on a good career, Dustin Pedroia. We're going to tie you to this tweet. Josh?
When was it?
It was June 11th, 2013.
Bradley Beal.
Okay, Bradley Ooh. Beal. Luke.
I don't know. Jeff Garcia.
Okay. Jeff. yeah.
It'd be hilarious if he did tweet stuff.
Jeff
like
Garcia was like 44 years old when this tweet was sent. All right, buddy, you have a guess on this one?
I'm going to say Nate Robinson just because I want it to be Nate Robinson.
Fair enough. Yeah, it's actually Denver Broncos rookie wide receiver Jerry Jeudy. Jerry Jeudy, I think he's the fourth, said he needs a fat girl, but he also doesn't because he doesn't want her eating his plate. All right, coming to Josh to start this one off. This is from June 9th, 2011. 1:29 a.m. I'm sorry. This was sent in the wee hours of the morn. Money and hoes. #. Pimpin.
That could be half the NBA. 2011. It had to be somebody like who was in high school back then. I'm a guess. Zion.
Okay, Zion.
He might have been in like middle school.
Though. Yeah, Luke.
Zach Randolph.
Okay, buddy.
I don't. Boogie Cousins.
Okay, Jack.
I feel like it's so innocuous. I want to attribute it to someone. It'd be crazy if it was them. But I'm going to stick with my gut. Kevin Durant. It's the Kevin Durant game.
Oh, man. Not a bad guess. It's actually not. It's the man with all the power right now, Houston Texans quarterback for the time being, Deshaun Watson. Deshaun Watson at 1:30 was thinking about money and hoes, hashtag pimping. Got to respect his game. All right. Moving on to – we only got a couple more of these, but I do want to – actually, you know what? We need to move on to our last game. So we'll put a thumbnail or a placeholder, I suppose, in this game, and we'll pick it up next month. But right now, Buddy Dean has 19 points. Jack has 20. Josh has 22. And Luke has 18. So we're all pretty close here. But it doesn't matter because this next game is the finale. This is a new game we've been playing, so I apologize to everybody if it's a bit confusing. I'm still trying to figure out how to explain it and build up a rotation of guests who remember how to play it. This game is called Award Season. Essentially, how it's going to work is this. I have an award written down. I've got some details about that award that I think could be helpful in terms of figuring out what the award is. And what we're going to do is have a bidding war. So I'm going to read a brief description of the award. The players are going to take that knowledge and figure out how many of the most recent 10 winners of said award they would need to name the award. The kicker is that whatever their bid is will start from 2011 moving forward. So it'll be the 10th most recent, the 9th most recent, the 8th most recent, so on and so forth. Now, how other people get points is if we'll play an example here in a second, but if Jack says that he can name it in 10 names and Josh says name it, if Jack names the award, he gets the points. If he misses it, Josh gets the points. Luke and Buddy would not be eligible for points in that round. Does that make sense to everybody? Yep. Yeah, nodding in approval. And we will play just an example round just so people at home kind of get the feel for it. All right, so we'll start here with Luke. This is a team award. This award is handed out at the end of January or early February. How many names would you need for that, Luke?
Five.
Okay, five. And then we would go to Buddy, and then Buddy would either be able to go four names or less or challenge Luke.
Challenge Luke.
Okay, and then Luke, I would read you the New York Football Giants, the Baltimore Ravens, the Seattle Seahawks, the Patriots, and the Denver Broncos.
Is it, wait, the Super Bowl?
It is the Super Bowl champion. Yeah, so it's pretty simple like that. Obviously, the ones moving forward will not be that simple, but that's essentially the game. If you're ever confused on what to do, it's best just to, if it's your turn, it's probably best just to bid 10 names, because then, you know, you might get a chance to, someone might challenge you and you might get all 10 names. So, just an idea there. Buddy, you had a hand up?
Oh, my only question was, would it be the Super Bowl trophy or is it like the Lombardi or does
yeah.
the
actual so, name it? Good question. Last week or last month, I was only taking fully correct answers. If I think that your answer is sufficient, I'll give you the full 5 points awarded. But if you do get like if it's an obscure name and you are able to get like the corporate, if it's the Tostitos Fiesta Bowl, and you call it the Tostitos Fiesta Bowl, I'll give you an extra point. I'll make it 6 points. But if you say the Fiesta Bowl and I go up, 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 not the Tostitos, that won't count. You know, you'll still get the 5 points for it. So is everyone clear on the rules?
Yep.
All good. If any pop up during the game, go ahead. Feel free to ask. Okay. We will start with Luke on this one. Just to remind everybody, Buddy's got 19. Jack and Josh both, or I'm sorry. Buddy's got 19, Jack's got 20, Josh has got 22, Luke's got 18. So I hope that this game becomes a little bit of a strategy game. All right, Luke, this is an individual award. This award is given out every September. The first year it was awarded was 1997, and there has only been one foreign player to win the award. How many names do you need?
Seven.
Seven names, okay. Buddy, coming to you.
I will. Is this Luke? Luke said that?
Sorry, yeah, Luke said seven.
Then I'll challenge Luke.
Okay, Luke. It's exciting stuff right here. So I'm going to read you the seven least recent of the 10 most recent winners, okay?
Right.
All right. Tamika Catchings, Tina Charles, Candace Parker, Maya Moore, Elena Deladonna, Ineka Ogwimike, Sylvia Fowles.
MVP of the WNBA season.
Luke, congratulations. You just secured yourself 5 points, buddy.
Wow.
All right. Wow. Luke jumps up to 23 points, taking the lead. This is interesting. This WNBA MVP. I thought that would give you guys more issue, to be honest. I thought maybe September is what made you guys not want to bid a bunch, but okay. All right, buddy, coming to you. Oh, I'm sorry. Actually, you had a chance there. So it actually jumps to Jack because you had a chance for points there. Jack, coming to you. This award is an individual achievement. It is given out at the beginning of February, and the two recipients that have won it 3 times in a row, the two recipients that have won it a total of 3 times did so by winning it 3 times in a row. So the only two guys who ever won it three times did so three times in a row. How many names do you need, Jack?
Three.
Three names. Wow. Josh?
I'm playing strategy. I don't know how many rounds we're going to do.
No?
Who knows?
It's a good point. Josh goes two. Luke, what do you think here?
Name it. I don't know.
Ooh. Dun, 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 dun. Luke could jump out to a huge lead right here if Josh doesn't nail this. An actual uncatchable lead. Luke could really come from behind here. All right, Josh. Here are your two names.
Just like sports.
Yeah, just like sports. Okay, here you go, Josh. Drew Brees, Adrian Peterson.
NFC Offensive Player of the Year.
Josh, I can't give you points for that. The Offensive Player of the Year award is not broken down by conference. It is just the NFL Offensive Player of the Year award. Luke, congratulations. Five more points awarded and an unreachable. And hey, you know what? Maybe the moral of the story here is I need to reevaluate how many points I give away in this game. But I fucking love it, Luke. Abso-fucking-lutely. Actually, you still... No. You can't be caught, but we're going to play the last round anyway. Luke with an absolute fucking runaway at this point. I guess that the person who it would come to now would be Buddy to start this one. So congrats to Luke, but, you know, second place is still up for grabs here. All right, Buddy, this is an individual award. It is given out in May or June annually, and even though it's been awarded since 1969... Only 31 players have won it. How many names do you need?
I don't. Let's go with eight.
Okay, eight. Jack, coming to you. How many names?
So I feel like it doesn't matter at this point since Luke won. I think it's going to be really fun to say this. Buddy Dean, challenge.
Okay, Buddy. I'm going to give you the eight least recent of the 10 most recent winners of this award. You're going to have a chance to, I mean, leapfrog Jack and Josh, really, really throwing things out of whack in terms of my sports ball power rankings of all. This is like when Anderson Silva broke his leg against Chris Weidman for sports ball. All right, buddy. Here we go.
Yeah.
Dirk Nowitzki, LeBron James. LeBron James, how many names did you say?
Eight.
Kawhi Leonard, Andre Iguodala, LeBron James, Kevin Durant. Ooh.
I'm going to say regular season points leader, like points per game leader.
Yeah, not a bad guess. You overthought it a little bit, though. I thought Andre Iguodala would be the dead giveaway for everyone. Jack, congratulations on 5 points. The answer
NBA Finals MVP.
The NBA Finals Most Valuable Player Award.
Oh, shit.
Yeah. No, that's you were, I mean, you're not too far off in terms of points per game. If you hear LeBron's name and Kevin Durant's name that many times, you're safe to guess that. But I thought Iguodala would be the tipping point. That's it, guys. Luke wins it. It goes Luke, and then I believe Jack, and then Josh, and then Buddy. Good job. I mean, you know, sorry, Josh. I'm sorry that you're in company here, but good job boxing out Josh on that one. That's kind of the reason I like that game is because you do have a potential to box out. Like, Josh was leading heading into that round and doesn't get a chance to seal it. I like that. Next time
doesn't seem fair, does it?
No, nope.
It doesn't seem fair. And Jack got royally fucked.
Go back to the post about their dick.
All right, I'm gonna give you guys a chance to plug it away, Buddy. What do you got going on?
In less than an hour, you can catch me over at the Obscure Movie Trivia Show on this same channel here for Stab. That's every Tuesday at 8 p.m. if you're listening on audio. It's great. We do a movie of the week. We're doing All About the Benjamins.
Nice. Yeah, check. Make sure to check that out. I've been a guest on in the past. Hope to be a guest on in the future. Jack Brown, where can people find you? What can they see?
SilverStrongAd.com. I bought that domain name, so yeah, it'll redirect to my YouTube page. It's easier to say, too. So SilverStrongAd.com.
Okay, SilverStrongAd.com. Josh Means.
I love it. At Jay Means on Twitter or all social media. I'll be at Laughs Unlimited the 25th through the 27th. And then this Friday, I'll be judging Roast Battles in Chico. I'm going and doing a hostile takeover to announce that we're bringing the live verbal insults show back March 13th. What?
Nice. Yeah. Cool. And then Luke Soin, our reigning champion. What do you got? Where can people find you? What can they see?
Well, you should listen to Josh because I will also be judging that show.
Bang, bang.
I'll be there. I think I'm doing stand-up, right? Yeah, okay, yeah, I'll be doing a set of stand-up. I will also be at Laughs Unlimited for one night on the 20... Oh, shit, where is it? Oh, is it March? The 25th? Yeah.
Yeah.
I didn't put it in my calendar. I better do that. The 25th. It's safe. It's socially distanced. It's outside. They got little pods. They have heaters for your feet. You should go. Also, follow me at Epic Tiki Comedy on Twitter, at Epic Tiki on Instagram, and Epic Tiki Comedy on YouTube.
Fantastic. You can follow me on social media at Drew Apsher on Twitter, at Drew Apsher is dumb on Instagram. Hey, if you like this podcast, maybe you'd like my other podcast, Fill My Heart, that I host with my beautiful co-host and man who's never jumped in his life, Parker Newman. make sure to stay in touch with Stab Comedy on all of their socials, Stab Comedy on Instagram, Twitter, and the likes. And all right, we will talk to you guys the third. Oh, actually, if you're listening to this as a podcast stream, I'm probably going to be throwing up a couple other things on the channel. Like, you know, if there's a big trade or something like that, maybe I'll do a quick reaction or something to it. Or maybe I'll sit down with someone and have a sports conversation. I do want to announce one thing I'm going to be doing that's going to be kind of fun. The person who made me get into sports, my father. I'm going to have my dad, my sister, and my brother-in-law play this exact script of sports ball, including a game that we didn't have time for in this episode. So if you're interested in hearing that and you're watching this on YouTube, within the couple weeks here, you can hear me interact with my family about sports, which I think will be kind of a fun dynamic. So anyway, that's it for us, guys. We will talk to you in a month or so. Stay safe. Go Kings. Talk to you later. Goodbye.